And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, goes from like Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we now call again, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, there's all you guys out there that live stream the show every day. You're all over the world. We know it. You're also podcasters who catch sometimes after the fact. Anyway, the bottom line is wherever you guys catching this show, we can see it. We know it. And you're the only reason why we do it. We make this show just for y'all. And the fact that you participate with us means the world. Well, listen, I don't want to take up too much time. I want to go to the phones right now. So you heard me mention earlier that the race for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Tommy Tuberville has really turned into quite a race with some great names. One of those great names has got in today. Listen, Alabama Representative Barry Moore currently serves in Alabama's 1st Congressional District. Previously, I believe it was the 2nd Congressional District until the court decided they had to redraw our lines, which has always been fun. But he serves quite ably. He has become known as a conservative voice in D.C. on behalf of the people of Alabama. He's been a member of the Freedom Caucus. He's one of the very first to ever come out in support of Trump when he ran for office. He's a graduate of Auburn University. He's got an amazing wife and kids and grandkids, and he's on the phone right now. Congressman Barry Moore, how are you doing?
I am doing fine, my friend Phil Williams. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You need to take me on the road because that was a heck of an introduction right there.
Man, I tell you what, Williams, you're improving. I mean, really, really improving. I was so impressed with that. I was like, man, he sounds like a rapper on the other end out there laying out the reach and all that. You're doing a good job, brother. Doing a good job,
buddy. Well, thanks, man. Well, listen, we're not here to talk about me. Here to talk about you, dude. You've made a name for yourself in Congress, and I'll just go ahead and confess that I said off the air to you a minute ago on the phone that I love your voting record in Congress. The only problem with you running for Senate is I lose your vote in Congress. I just hope that we're going to get somebody else in there just as conservative to take your place.
Yes, I mean, that's always a concern. But for me, I just look for what that calling is on my life. And so for us, when the opportunity opened with the Senate seat, and if you look at mine and Coach's record, we're two top conservatives in the country. And honestly, I razz Coach a little because my Liberty score is like 0.4 higher than his, you know. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, he's a conservative and he's done a great job, and those are big shoes to fill. But when I feel called sometime, and it's not always, you know, it's just Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And, you know, in the Bible, those old lamps didn't give a lot of light, brother. It's not like a high beam, but we just take that next step of faith. And we felt called to do this. And it's like that August 21st day 10 years ago this month, when Donald Trump came to Alabama, and Heather and I were in a van on the south end of Lab People Stadium, and those guys were like, "Well, y'all endorse Trump." Well, Heather and I, we went down the hall and prayed about it. And literally, Phil, we walked out on the stage and introduced, there were only four people out of all the legislative guys there and elected officials that day that would endorse Trump. But we felt that was our calling. And I became the first guy in the nation to endorse a guy who had less than 1% chance of getting the nomination. There was a 17-way primary. Donald Trump was certainly an outsider, and they said he can't beat Hillary Clinton. That was the conventional wisdom, but we felt led that day to get involved in that. And so we've been in the fight ever since, and we've got a fight to finish, and hopefully we'll continue in the Senate to serve the American people and move the president's agenda down to the finish line.
Well, that's good stuff, man, and I do remember those days. And let me ask you something. I asked another candidate in your race recently. I said, just from my limited time serving in public office, I know that this has to be, if it's to be done well, this has to be a decision where the husband and wife are both in it. You might be the name on the sign, but Heather's going to have to go, you know, be a part of it with you in every respect. So talk to me about the decision-making process between the two of you for you to run for U.S. Senate.
Yeah, there is no doubt. And you and I both know that we both outkicked our coverage when we married our wives. And for me, Heather was politically astute even growing up. And so we pray about these things. And, you know, and it's not an easy decision because we love the congressional districts. We've served just about every county south of Montgomery in Alabama, and we've served well. But it is a team effort. She travels with me. She gives tours free to the taxpayer in Washington, D.C. I tell everybody it's free to the taxpayer, but it costs me more than you'll ever know. But she is engaged in the process, and she loves She loves our country. She loves our president. And she loves the fact that we can make a difference in the future for our kids and grandkids. And so we're a great team. And we had to pray seriously about it. But there was no doubt that the Lord, I am exactly on the assignment that he gave me. I don't know what that looks like down the road, but that lamp is in my feet, my brother. It's that next step. And so we're just doing what we feel called and led to do. And, you know, that's all you can do in this life, because at the end of the day, this is a vapor. And when we step into eternity, you want the Father to look at us and go, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And so we're going to be those good and faithful servants.
Well, and I love hearing that. And thank you very much. And by the way, ain't nothing wrong with taking your faith into politics, because if it's the core of your life, then it has to go with you or it's not real. So I appreciate you saying those things. So let me ask you, a poll came out the other day. I don't remember who did the poll. I think 1819 quoted it. But this poll had you polling pretty well before you were ever even in the race. Talk to me about where you see the race going. What is the next step? Like right now, I know today was the announcement day. You probably haven't had a time to do a kickoff party yet, but today's the announcement day. And what is the next step for you to hit 67 counties? Cause you're a hard campaigner, dude. I mean, but that was in, you know, the Wiregrass and in the Southern districts. Now you got a whole state. So what are you looking at?
Yeah, so I actually talked to a senator friend of mine, and he's retired, but he told me, he said, look, when I first announced for the Senate when I was in the House, he said, only 7% of the people knew my name in the whole state. And he said, I was concerned, and my team was like, no, sir, that's not good. We'll define who you are. And so for us now to begin to move north and define who we are, you know, that conservative record, the first in the nation to endorse Trump, the most conservative member from the Alabama delegation, and all that, a House Freedom Caucus member, a guy I was rated one of the most conservatives in the state legislature. And so when you start putting that message out, Alabama loves Donald Trump, my friend. And we were with him before the political wind shifted for him. We've been behind him to support him. And so as you talk about loyalty to the president and moving that America First agenda, the people need to know that who we send to the Senate is the man who the president can trust and does trust. And so I think we just run on our record. And, you know, that's what we've always done, Phil. I've always said I don't want to ever destroy my witness over winning a political race. So what we do is we run on our record. We don't talk about other folks. We go out and talk about what we're going to do and what we've done. And I was elected to Congress in 2020, and that's perfect vision, right? So I just tell people, look at what we've done since we've been there and what we're going to continue to do. And so it's just a matter of messaging. And listen, Friday night, I know you got a big reach. We're going to have a launch party in DeKalb County, North Alabama, in a little town called Sylvania at the Barnes Blue Pond. We're going to have some good music there. Matter of fact, President Trump's former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, will be there. Brian Hollihan will be there with us. A number of special guests as we launch Friday night in North Alabama. So that's the next step, just getting out there and getting in front of the people. And like you said, we work so very hard, and we're such a good grassroots team, Heather and I and our family and the folks we've got around us that volunteer to help. That's the next step, just letting people know who Barry Moore is so they have a clear choice when the election comes in the primary.
Well, I will personally be at CNN again Friday night in New York, but otherwise I would love to have come. But you've got some good names there. Mark Meadows and Brylon Hollihan are two people who I have great respect for, and they represent two different generations, I would call them, in the Republican Party. And that's a big deal. Speaking of which, let me ask you about that. Do you see your message resonating with every age demographic? I mean, how do you participate in the election process that big when you've got age groups that have different viewpoints?
Well, to me, if you look at just the young people in this country, how they're coming back to their faith, Brylon Hollihan said it on Fox, I guess, this week, you know, about that you got to be willing to talk about your faith and those things that spans generations. And so I think that, and they love President Trump. They love the fact that he's including the young people. He had an incredible reach to the young people across the country this time around by the Charlie Kirks of the world, those people who are getting out there on those college campuses and engaging them and kind of countering the culture of the woke left they've been taught. I just think there's an opportunity. And Heather and I taught you Sunday school for years. We've always kind of enjoyed young people. We do a ton of interns. So that's really not out of our wheelhouse in a lot of ways, you know. I'm getting a little older, but I still love those young folks, and we appreciate conservatives and young people who are willing to engage in the process. We need that for the next generation in this nation.
No, we absolutely do. We need to know we have leaders ready and fit to take the fight. All right, let me ask you, brother. So you've got some great time under your belt serving in Congress, And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you served on, or you're still serving on, House Agriculture and House Judiciary. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, sir, you're correct.
So if you were on Ag and Judiciary in the House, is that something you'd like to repeat in similar type committees in the Senate? Or do you have your eyes set on something you'd love to be a part of that you haven't been able to do in the House so far?
Yeah, I think for us, I have to look at the Katie Britt, Senator Britt, and the position she's going to be in, and make sure I compliment what Senator Tuttle might be vacating in the Senate. So he is on Senate Armed Services Committee. Yeah. Me being a veteran, understanding growing up with Fort Rucker there and how important the defense industry is to our state and certainly to our country, but also ag, because that is one of the things. We have a huge rural ag producing state. It's a huge economic engine. So I see those two areas as the areas to focus, and then whatever other areas I can feel the best benefit the state, that's what we're going to go for.
Well, I think that's wise, and I think that armed services and ag are both, I mean, that's between Maxwell Air Force Base, Fort Rucker, Fort and Redstone Arsenal, Anniston Army Depot, and all the National Guard presence. I mean, that armed services piece is going to be huge for us. And then Space Command, all those things that we got to try and move back to our state. All right, man. Well, listen, you've had plenty of time to think and postulate and get this going, but I know you've got what I would call platform pieces, and I've heard some of it. Obviously, you can tout your relationship with Trump, and you can tout your time running on your record, but is there a particular platform, something you're going to stand on that says Barry Moore is staking the flag right here? What would that be if it is?
Yeah, I think for me, and there's probably a couple of those, it'd be hard for me to hit them all, but continuing to support the president securing our border and making sure that we have a secure border, making sure that we only got Americans voting in our elections. I think election integrity is huge for this nation going forward. And so a couple things, like, and the economy field. When you and I served together in the state legislature, Airbus, Austal, all those companies, Polaris, you just name them, that came to Alabama. I think opening the state of Alabama for business, because you and I both know there is no government program like a job. And so if we can allow people to come to work in Alabama, and we can workforce develop and train the labor force to build, Alabama has land, labor, and climate conducive to growing an economy. So making sure I focus on growing the economy and securing our borders, those sort of things that really, I think the number one issue, though, Phil, is to protect your liberty. If I just take everything off the table and say, what is my number one job, is to protect your liberty as a citizen of this country.
Well, I can't argue with any of that. Like I said, the only thing that I think that we're losing here is a potential losing your conservative vote in the House. So let me ask you this real quick before we go. I'm sure you spoke to House leadership and said, hey, I'm throwing my name in the hat for the Senate. What kind of commentary did you get from members of your caucus, or from, for that matter, Speaker Johnson?
Yeah, so my buddy Jim Jordan is like, man, you're going to miss us in the House. I'm like, yeah, I know, Jim. And we are dear friends. And so there is that little bit of pushback, but they're encouraging me, because we've become friends, and they know that in that Senate, you've got only 100 people there. And certainly they would love to have allies. The House Freedom Caucus would love to have more allies in the Senate. And very often we'll have senators come to our HFC meetings up in D.C. So, those guys are encouraging me to do it. They hate to see me go, but at the same time, we're always going to be in touch with our friends across there and bridge the gap between the two chambers to make sure we're moving a good conservative pro-Trump agenda forward.
Well, Congressman Barry Moore from the 1st District of Alabama, now running for the U.S. Senate. A lot of time between now and the primary, but it's also going to fly by. So best of luck to you, my friend. We'll have you back on again sometime soon, and thanks for making time today.
Hey, thank you, Phil. We appreciate your service.
All right, tell Heather, hey, thank you. All right, man, that's it. That's Congressman Barry Moore. So listen, you guys out there, you've got a deep bench to pull from. Wow. I mean, think about this. You got a member of the House Freedom Caucus who's been in Congress now for a few years, but he's a businessman who knows what it means to write a paycheck and to balance a budget and to make hard decisions. And then you've also got the guy who's been a prosecutor, putting bad guys away for years, who's been serving as our attorney general, who was the chairman of the Republican Attorneys General Association nationally and has been leading the fight against wokeness in a big way for our state and our nation. That's Steve Marshall. And then you've also got a former Navy SEAL who now fights human trafficking, who has a great record of law enforcement, and all three of them love the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, you Alabama voters have got your work cut out for you, but you're going to have time. We're on this show. We're going to develop these candidates as best we can and give you everything you need to know, because everybody in the sound of my voice in the state of Alabama is going to have those three names on their ballot. I love having choices. They're also hard choices, but I love having choices. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. Going to jump on into number two on the triple tipper. I got what I call a dim view of the Dim's views. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.